Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Animal shelters on the chopping block from LA's $1 billion budget deficit threaten to make a bad situation worse.
How do we expect things to get better when we're allowing backyard breeding? We're allowing animals to multiply. There's no enforcement of spay neuter.
Summer comes early for the Lakers, and now comes the guessing game on LeBron James' future.
Yeah, I don't see LeBron exiting stage left quietly. That's just not how he's wired.
Welcome to the LA Local for Thursday, May 1st, 2025. It's brought to you by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. I'm your well over 40-year-old host, Jonathan Service, marveling at LeBron's stamina, even if it did end up being a pretty lame playoff run for the Lakers. On today's Local, we've got animals in distress on the streets of Los Angeles. We have adorable animals on display at the LA County Fair. We have the world's first wildfire-resistant community, and we have the Lakers laying an egg. But let's start with the complicated debate in California over the desperate need to build more housing. The year opened full of promise up at the state legislature in Sacramento with a suite of bills meant to streamline permitting, design, and construction of housing units in California. Fast forward 5 months, and a lot of those bills are struggling to become laws, as some Democrats are just still not sold on steps like removing regulations to speed up construction. What's the holdup for a state that desperately needs more housing? I called up State Senator Scott Wiener from San Francisco, who himself has authored a bill that would allow more high-density apartment complexes to be built next to major transit centers in California cities.
It makes all the sense in the world to have more housing and denser housing right around these stations. And we're not talking about any old bus stop. We're talking about the highest quality public transportation stops. And that's exactly where we should be focusing more housing. And that's what this bill will do. And it'll help public transportation succeed. It'll be good for the environment. It'll be good for people, just having more people be able to live right near good transit. So, you know, as with any housing proposal, there's going to be some disagreements around it.
It's issues like the use of union labor, which your bill does not require. You know, a law, something we're very familiar with here in Southern California, which is an often arduous debate over affordable housing units within each development and the guarantee and what constitutes affordable housing. How do you solve that fundamental tension between needing to go fast in this destruction, in construction, which really, for framing here, every single homeless policy person I've talked to for the last 5 years at least, if not longer, so that all of the kind of support, transitional housing services, drug, mental health counseling services you can throw at the homeless population, the only thing that's going to solve the state's long-term homelessness crisis is building more housing. So how do you strike that balance?
Yeah. So the fundamental cause, the heart of our housing crisis is the lack of enough housing, that we have a massive shortage of homes of all varieties. And sometimes we, you know, in the debate, different kinds of housing gets pitted against each other. We should have more market rate housing. No, we should have more subsidized housing. We should have more this or that. We need all of it. We have a shortage of every kind of housing.
There seems to be a contingent that just simply is not interested in the whole concept of how do we move along this process? How do we streamline this process? Are you confident that you can win some converts? Certainly from you from San Francisco, our view from here down in LA, the urgency of this situation, right? That you got to get moving. And so if ever increasing homeless populations in both of our cities and the biggest cities in Los Angeles, sorry, in California, same thing in San Jose, are not enough to convince people that something's got to change, then what do you think does convert them?
Well, first of all, I've now been an observer of Los Angeles housing politics for almost a decade, and housing politics in LA have shifted, just like they shifted maybe a decade before in the Bay Area. When the housing crisis gets so bad, when more and more middle class, working class, low income families are getting pushed out, and people see that. People see that their kid has had three teachers in one school year because the teachers can't afford to live there. People see that they have neighbors who have to leave or neighbors who lose their housing entirely. They see it and it shifts housing politics. That is absolutely happening in LA.
From building more housing, period, to building more fire-resistant housing in high fire danger zones in the state. A neighborhood under construction in North San Diego County could be a guide to rebuilding efforts in the Palisades and Eaton fire zones. It's called Dixon Trail. It's located in the hills of Escondido, which is itself a high fire danger area. The homes have gutters and vents enclosed in thin wire mesh. Windows are double-paned with tempered glass made to withstand the heat of a fire. There's also fire-resistant stucco used in construction. The homes each have a moat of gravel around them in which nothing flammable is allowed to be planted or placed. KNX producer Donald Morrison talked about the development with Steve Ruffner at KB Homes.
We last summer went to an event at the Pacific Builders Conference in Anaheim, and we watched the demonstration by IBHS where they built two different structures, one built to the 80s code and one built to their standards. And then they lit a fire in front of it and blew wind like a red flag event day would here in Southern Cal. And the house that was built to the 80s standards burned down in 45 minutes. The unit that was built to the current standards that they recommend did not burn. And that was really powerful when I was watching it. So we worked together. We got together with IBHS. We had already broken ground on our project in Escondido. And we said, what do we have to do to get the whole community certified? Because they had never done that before. They've only done individual homes.
And people can get home insurance. That's the big thing. That's the big thing right now.
That is a big deal. So it's not only just about getting a discount, because everyone asked me about that. Well, will they get a discount? I'm like, well, they can get insurance, a reasonable insurance. And since this program is sponsored by the insurance companies, they're very aware of it. And we have met with all of them and talked about it. And they're very excited about the program.
It'll be really interesting to see how many of the homes that are rebuilt in Pacific Palisades and Altadena adopt these fireproofing standards, which, while effective, are also a lot more expensive. Quick break here to take care of some business, and when the LA local returns, animals in trouble at LA City shelters and animals on parade at the LA County Fair. Be right back. Thanks for sticking with us on today's LA Local. I'm your host, Jonathan Service. We've been telling you about LA City wrestling to close a $1 billion budget deficit and the multitude of unpleasant choices ahead for elected officials. What to do with the city's already struggling animal shelters is one of those unpleasant choices, as our Natalie Tavidian explains.
Animal rescue advocate Shira Scott Astroff is criticizing the mayor's proposed budget, which includes a $4.8 million cut to animal services.
This is how I look at the whole situation. Our shelters, our city shelters, are so underfunded right now. These dogs are suffering immensely. The shelters need more money.
What is your biggest fear as somebody who is with a rescue?
It can't get any worse right now. The shelters are so bad. There's no enforcement of spay neuter. So, I mean, I called Animal Control the other day because I saw a bunch of puppies in a cage in a homeless encampment in the sun. And they said they were going to go over there. And you know what they said? They said, oh, well, we brought supplies for them. So how do we expect things to get better when we're allowing backyard breeding? We're allowing animals to multiply. There's no enforcement of spay neuter.
Like her, many animal welfare leaders continue to demand long-term investment and immediate action to prevent further suffering in already overwhelmed LA shelters.
From what is frankly a pretty depressing animal story to a much happier one, it's move-out day for the animals that'll be on display at the LA County Fair. Brian Ping has the fuzzy details.
For crew members like Cal Poly Pomona student Alec Milkey, move-out day starts bright and early.
Our job is to wake up at 6 a.m. We're in charge of feeding animals, checking animals all throughout the day, completing all tasks on the farm, like anything to do with veterinary care, anything to do with husbandry, helping assist with classes.
And they're expecting a lot of excited visitors to see farm life in person.
We brought in some pregnant sheep. We brought in some pregnant does, which are the goats, and some pregnant cows. Oh, as well as a pig and her litter of little piglets.
Many of those animals who are pregnant today will have babies running around for all to see by the last week of the fair.
Did anyone else know that the fair purposely brings in pregnant animals for the exhibits? So they'll give birth while the fair is underway, and then everyone gets the bonus of seeing those adorable new babies? All right, finally, the fat lady has sung for the wild up and down Lakers season. Unfortunately, they're going out on a low note.
The Lakers, whenever they've been a three seed or higher, they have never lost in the first round. Shocking here.
That was the call on TNT as the Lakers season comes to an end. Now the question is, will LeBron James be back next season?
I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. Something I sit down with my family, my wife, and my support group and kind of just talk through it and see what happens.
LeBron has a player option worth more than $52 million for the 2025-2026 season. $52 million for one player. NBA salaries are nuts. Lakers Lounge host Anthony Irwin tells us the disappointment with the season was palpable after the big expectations when Luka Doncic was acquired.
Absolutely. They're the three seed. And the thinking in this one was that they could not just beat Minnesota, but matched up potentially really well with their next team. If it was Houston, Golden State was a little tougher. And then from there, you get into the Western Conference Finals, likely against OKC, and they beat OKC right before the season ended. So you're thinking, wow, they have a decent chance to go on a bit of a run here. But that is all now over. It is very unceremoniously over.
He thinks LeBron wants to go out on top with son Bronny playing a bigger role on the team. He adds the Lakers will have to make some offseason moves.
I think he's back. I think he comes back. He really liked playing with Bronny this year. I think the one thing that he would love to end his career on is a championship with Bronny there on the team with him. Bronny also didn't really play this year, so I think he would like to be on the team with Bronny actually playing a bit of a role, and there's an outside chance of that next year. So I think LeBron is back. I think it's even within the realm of possibility that he takes a little bit of a pay cut so that the Lakers can provide a little bit more talent on the margins, and they give it at least one more go.
Really slumming it for anything less than $50 million a year. The Lakers' newest and most unexpected star, Luka Doncic, also says they have room to improve.
I mean, there's obviously a lot of different things we can do, I can do. Obviously, everybody got to get better. And, you know, we're going to have a long summer, and we should focus on what we can improve as a team, as individuals, so everybody.
Just keep away from those six packs and cigarettes, Luca, and hit the gym this summer. This has been the LA Local for Thursday. It's sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. You can see the inventory for all 12 dealerships at lacarguy.com. I'm Jonathan Service, your host. I'm headed out for beers and cigs with this cool, super tall guy I just met who moved to LA from Dallas. See you tomorrow.